I want you to hear me loud and clear. Glad to be here with my family, and you are all my true family, brothers and sisters in Christ. And I'm also blessed to have almost my whole immediate family here. I'm missing a son-in-law and a want-to-be son-in-law and a daughter. So, greetings from the Colliston Ecclesia. Have you got your Bibles ready? Revelation 16. Verse 15. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. So who is this that comes as a thief? Who comes as a thief? It cannot be Christ for us. So, and who is blessed if he watches and keeps his garments clean? That, think about that. In Eureka, volume 3B, page 186, we find that it is not one individual that comes, but a body of individuals. And that body is Christ and his ecclesia, Christ and the saints. Turn to Thessalonians, please. First Thessalonians. It's kind of hard to find. Chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians 5, I want to read verses 1 through 6. Follow along. But of the times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfect that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they, get this, they, say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others, but let us watch and be sober. So we are the children of light. We are not the ones that Christ is going to come as a thief in the night to, if you're watching. And I know that all of you are. Let's read on. 7. For they that sleep in the night and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the world or Christendom seem to be confused about who Christ is and who Yahweh is. Sometimes we see written Christ Jesus, and sometimes we see Jesus Christ. This expresses briefly that the idea Jesus is the Christ, whereas Christ Jesus emphasizes the title rather than the person. Also, 1 Timothy, turn there please. Just a couple pages over. Chapter 1, first verse. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God, our Savior, and Lord Jesus, which is our hope. So here you notice it says that God is our Savior. And these words are, you know, you would think would be given to Jesus Christ instead of to Yahweh. But this is done frequently in the Bible. Several scriptures, some examples are of this. 1 Timothy 2:3, 1 Timothy 4:10, Titus 1:3, 2:10, and 3 and verse 4. In other writings of Paul, this title is given to Christ our Savior as being the one through whom the great deliverance from sin and death was wrought. Christendom tries to make this a point to prove the Trinity. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and has chosen the things which are not to bring to naught things that are. In John 6:38, Jesus said this, "For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me." And verse 40, "This is the will of him that sent me, that he would raise him up at the last day that believeth on him." So, turn over to 1 John. Chapter 4, 1 John chapter 4. I want to read starting at verse 7. "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God," or Yahweh. "He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God," or Yahweh, "but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins." Now back to 1 Timothy 1:1. It was said here that our Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. Now, This is a profound, true statement. God has become our salvation. You remember we said God, our salvation, has become our salvation because He hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So it's not confusing if you read the Scripture. That's how God is our salvation, because He provided Christ, who is our salvation, by the resurrection of Him. Now, let's read over in Colossians. The first chapter of Colossians. Verses 5 and 6. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto us as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. So our hope may be found in the truth of the gospel. According to the power of God, through His Son, Jesus the Christ. Now this has a present and a future aspect of salvation. Go to 2 Timothy. 1, 2 Timothy, I want to read, start at verse 8. Be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, His prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. So for us to be partakers of immortality, we must do what? We must believe that our Savior abolished death and brought life through the gospel. Our hope is also strengthened by what the angel told Joseph in Matthew 1:21. Joseph had thought to put away his espoused Mary, but the angel said, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Now, if we believe the Bible, we must also believe that Jesus will at some point save His people from their sins. In fact, This happens in three stages. It was first by the sacrifice of himself. And this made a way for us by baptism, so that we could have our condemnation removed. See, he had his condemnation removed when he sacrificed himself. And that happens also for us by baptism. But we also have to follow his commandments and statutes and do what he says. All right, second is by resurrection and judgment. Then if we are found worthy, we'll enter in to life. And third, by the multitudinous Christ are the saints that come as a thief in the night to the world. You see? This is exemplified in the threefold office of Jesus as that of prophet, priest, and king. In 1 Kings 19, we find that Elisha was anointed with oil to be a prophet. In Exodus chapters 27 and 28, Aaron was anointed with oil to be a priest. And in 1 Samuel, David was anointed with oil to be king over Israel. Jesus was anointed with the antitype of that oil, which was the Holy Spirit, after his baptism. Because Matthew 13:16 states that the Spirit of God descended like a dove and lighted upon him. So, as the truth is in Jesus, Jesus taught as a prophet, as a priest. He offered not the sacrifice of bulls and goats, but he offered himself, and was raised from the dead, and sits on the right hand of Yahweh as our advocate, mediator, and high priest, and king to be, not king now, but after his return, he will set up the kingdom of the restored kingdom of God, then reign as king on earth with all his saints. His glorified saints will be with him. Turn to Deuteronomy, the 18th chapter. Verse 15, the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me. This is Moses saying that. Unto him ye shall hearken. In verse 18, I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. And if thou say in thine heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken. When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken. But the prophet has spoken, it is presumptuously spoken it presumptuously. Thou shalt not be afraid of him. So, if he's, in other words, he's telling a lie. If it don't come to pass. Jesus said in John 17:8, they have known surely that I came out from thee. Moses filled the same offices in type that Jesus filled and is to fill. In Deuteronomy 34:10, there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses. He also filled the office of a mediator, for it is explained what a mediator is in Galatians 3:19-29. Moses was also a lawgiver to the people, for he received the Ten Commandments from Yahweh. And Moses, the man of God, was also king in Jeshurun when all the tribes were gathered together. Now, I didn't realize that he was a king until I read that. But it's in Deuteronomy 33:1-5. Since we're already in Deuteronomy, let's just read that. And this is the blessing wherewith Moses, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel before his death. And he said, the Lord came from Sinai and rose up from Seir unto them. He shined forth from Mount Paran, and he came with 10,000s of saints. For from his right hand went a fiery law for them. Yea, he loved the people. All his saints are in thy hand. And they sat down at thy feet. Every one shall receive of thy words. Moses commanded us a law, even the inheritance of the congregation of Jacob. And he was king in Jeshurun, when the heads of the people and the tribes of Israel were gathered together. So, as we know, that was the kingdom of God on earth under Moses to begin with. And Moses was the king, as we read. Jesus is the only one who Moses and the prophets could have spoken of. Let's turn over to Acts chapter 3. I want to read, start at verse 18, chapter 3 of Acts. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his holy prophets that Christ should suffer, he has so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things, whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which shall not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. Ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our father, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first, God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquity. Brothers and sisters, and especially you young people, especially to those that are not baptized, it is absolutely essential that we have correct belief, correct behavior, and you must be baptized if you desire salvation. We cannot simply believe in Jesus and say we take him into our heart and say that he was a good person and expect to be rewarded. We must believe and act upon his teaching. So turn to John chapter 12. Not too far back. Verse 48, 49, and 50. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me. He gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. So here we're taught that not only his hearers will be condemned for rejecting him, but also for not receiving his words. It's twofold. So to disbelieve and not follow the commandments that Christ has made is to make out God or Yahweh a liar. Jesus said in John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Keep my commandments. And verse 21, states, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be beloved of my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Now, to keep his words is to be obedient. It's not always easy to be obedient. The terms love and obedient in the scriptures are synonymous. They go together like peas and carrots. Love manifests itself not in words only, but in actions. That is, in submitting our will to the will of God. Jesus said in Mark 16, 15 and 16, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But that he that believeth not and is not baptized," I added that, "shall be damned." If one believes and is baptized, he shall be saved from condemnation. But if he's not baptized, he won't be saved from condemnation. So in Acts 10, 47 and 48, we read, "Can any man forbid water? Then he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Jesus said to Nicodemus in John 3, 5, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." So baptism is absolutely essential. It is the seal by which believers accept the Abrahamic covenant and agree to abide by its conditions. Now this gives us a sure and certain hope that by patient continuance and well-doing, we will participate in its blessings. So, do you wish to be among those that receive the blessings of the Abrahamic covenant? What that means is you have an opportunity to gain eternal life. If so, if you believe this, do not neglect so great a salvation and treat what the Scriptures say lightly. We must avail ourselves of this opportunity and choose this day whom we will serve. Will you forsake the Lord and serve yourself? Or will you serve the Lord? Make the choice now. Every one of you, me included, make this choice now. Soon Christ will return. Have you ever been waiting for something, maybe a special occasion, or waiting maybe for something in the mail, maybe for a stork to bring something, or it seems like that it'll never get here, you know? It just seems like, how much longer before it gets here? Well, you know, after it gets here, you forget about how long you waited. And so, we're waiting on Christ. And it won't be long, he'll be here. But there's not a person in this room that should be surprised. Not one that he should sneak up on. Because you should be ready. Isaiah 30 and 18 states, "Blessed are all they that wait for him." Micah 7, 7 states, "I will wait for the Lord of my salvation." Psalms 37 and 9, "For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth." Proverbs 20 and 22, "Wait for the Lord, and he shall save thee." In fact, there are many, many scriptures if you just look up the word wait. many scriptures that tell us to wait. Surely, Christ will come suddenly, but it shouldn't be a surprise. Therefore, think on these things. Give yourselves wholly to them. Embrace them with your whole heart and mind, for surely He will come suddenly. Let us be ready. Thank you.